Behind our house, there's a cottonwood tree. It's one of the largest cottonwoods I've ever seen. It's probably been there longer than most of the houses that surround it. And every year around this time, it goes absolutely crazy. And you know what cottonwood trees do. After all, there's a reason they call them cottonwoods. Because every year around this time, it starts dropping tons and tons of those little cotton balls, and they float around and around, traveling for miles. Kind of look like snowflakes, which is kind of weird to look at in the middle of June, though earlier in the month it was pretty cool, never that cool. Well, I thought about that tree when I read this morning's parable. Can't help but think of that tree because somehow, somewhere, some time ago, that tree got planted. And it was probably from one of those little cotton balls carried on the wind from another long ago, now dead, cottonwood. Or it might have gotten planted because it got stuck on the bottom of someone or something's foot. It probably didn't, but it might have even been planted there. But I doubt it. Who would plant a cottonwood? But it's been there on its own ever since. No one had to tend it. No one cared for it. For all intents and purposes, it just grew. And I don't know how or why. And that's sort of what Jesus is saying about the kingdom of God in today's gospel. It's a tricky gospel, which is not to say the gospel isn't always tricky. It's just to say this morning's reading is especially tricky. Tricky because it's tempting when we hear Jesus talking about the kingdom of God in one breath and seed in the next breath. It's tempting to think that Jesus is comparing the kingdom of God to a seed. Or in this case, a tree behind my house. It's tempting to think of it as cotton balls. The kingdom of God is like cotton balls. But that's not what he's saying. Listen to how this gospel starts. The kingdom of God is as if someone would scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and rise night and day, and the seed would sprout and grow. He does not know how. The kingdom of God is as if. As if. Jesus isn't comparing the kingdom of God with the seed. He's comparing the kingdom of God with an action, with an activity. Comparing a thing with an action is comparing a noun with a verb. And we don't hear that very often. It sounds strange to our ears. We do occasionally hear or say such things, but not often. And there's a reason that this simile, this comparison of noun to verb, sounds odd. And there's a reason that Jesus said what he said. Usually, the kingdom gets translated, or the word that Jesus has used gets translated as kingdom, but it's probably better understood as reign. And that's not R-A-I-N, like what's happening out there. It's R-E-I-G-N, reign. Jesus isn't talking about a place. It's not a kingdom that was once upon a time in a faraway land kind of kingdom. Jesus is talking about the kingdom as an action. God reigning. So when Jesus says the kingdom, the reign of God, is as if someone would scatter, he's talking about an action. Jesus says that the kingdom is like someone scattering seed on the ground. And not only that, but someone scattering seed, then sleeping and rising day and night over and over and sleeping and rising, and witness the sea growing and growing without explanation. That's the image. Or to make it as plain as I can, it's like someone walking around tossing seed on the ground, not planting it, tossing it willy-nilly. The kingdom of God. The reign of God, as one author put it, is like a man who sows the seed and does nothing more than mind his own and not the seed's business. He goes to bed at night, he gets up in the morning, and then shops at the supermarket, unclogs the sink, whips up a gourmet dinner, watches the 10 o'clock news, plays chamber music with his friends, and then goes to bed again. And he does that, and nothing but that, day after day after day, all the while, the seed's growing, sprouting, growing in ways that he himself knows nothing about. If parables can be said to be about something, then what's this parable about? What's it telling us about God's reign? The kingdom is not a thing. God's reign is an action, an activity. And not only that, it's an activity that's going on all around us. All around us, all the time. And we don't know where it is or where it's not. Whether we're involved in it or not, it's going on around us, willy-nilly, constantly. And you know what that means? That means that God's love is going on around us constantly, willy-nilly. God's mercy, constantly. And God's mercy and God's love are not our love. And that's a good thing. It's a good thing because if we're honest, if we were in charge, or at least let me own it, if I were in charge, love and mercy would probably look very different. If I were in charge, or if you were in charge, if any of us were in charge, love probably wouldn't be unconditional. And mercy, I'm not even sure if it would be on the table. But that's not the way it is with God. God's reign is constant, and God's love unconditional. We are loved no matter what. Don't miss that. That's really important. We are loved no matter what. And that love extends to everyone. God's love and mercy is extended to all. And don't forget, it happens with or without us. God's mercy and love are not things that can be bartered, bought, sold. They're not something you can keep in a box and bring out only when you think someone deserves it. Now, God's love and mercy are not things like the kingdom. God's love and mercy are actions. They are activities in which all are loved, all are forgiven, even the most unlovable, the unacceptable, the most intolerable, they're all loved, they're all forgiven. And those kingdom reign actions happen whether we like it or not, willy-nilly, whether we do it or not. And this is a but. A big but. But just because God's love and mercy will happen, whether we're involved in it or not, that doesn't mean we aren't invited into it. We can share in God's reign even now, if we want to. Sure, we don't always manage to pull it off well. We don't always love the unlovable, forgive the unforgivable. but we can, or are invited to try, to embrace God's invitation to action. And sometimes, maybe even in spite of ourselves, we can manage to accept the invitation. After all, I think that's why we're known as the body of Christ. Amen.